Trials of Apollo, The Hidden Oracle, Chapter 37. Hey, look, it's Percy. Least he could do was help out. Taught him everything. I was too surprised to speak, otherwise...
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Hi, Neve. Hi, Ava. How are we?
Sleepy as hell. I basically just worked at like a sleepaway camp type sitch for like 2 weeks, and I am swiped. But I am in my own house right now, which is very exciting. I'm about to start the day camp portion of this job tomorrow, which is grand. It's a little it's different, but I get to get my morning coffee and sleep in my own bed. And so that is the ticket.
That is something to be grateful for sure.
Yes, it is. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. I am working all the time. I feel like that's always my update. I'm sorry. It's just
that we're just like that's my truth.
That's my truth. I am working at this restaurant all the time. I have a controversial opinion because I run around a lot at my job. And I've started doing, my mom has been really into like exercise classes at the gym that we're all members of. And she's like, she doesn't want to go by herself. So like, I just go with her specifically to like yoga classes. Mm-hmm. And is it worth getting stronger if it hurts? Because my body hurts all the time now. Literally just constant ache. And yes, I'm stronger, but is it worth it?
That's
the dilemma.
I love being sore.
That's how I feel about leg day. Where I'm like, I work a job where I run around for 8 to 10 hours.
Literally.
Why am I exercising my legs? I am. I won't skip. Because once I skip, I will never get back on it.
Mm.
It is so easy to be like, I could just do anything else, but no, I've gotten on a good routine of it, so I won't quit now, but I hate it.
I was in this yoga class this morning, and I was looking around, and I was like, you adults, like, you know, you 40-year-olds who are also in this class with me, like, you maybe find this stretch painful because it's like stretching your arm or like your hip or something. But no, like, the soles of my feet were in, like, unbelievable level excruciating pain because I'm on my feet, like, 24-7. It was actually, like, in, like, the one single stretch to them, they were, like, gone. They were, like, this is too much. This is too much for today. And I was, like, what have I become? Like, is this worth it? Stronger but achier all the time? So,
that's
been going on with me recently.
No, because I get it. Like, I have a weird thing with soreness where, like, the dance major in me eats it up. Because I'm like, I know next class I'll feel better, you know? But at the same time, then it's like when there isn't a next class, you're like, what is my body supposed to be doing right now? And why does it hurt all the time? And I hate this.
There is something that it does feel a little good about it. It's, like, rewarding in a painful way. You're like, I hurt. But I know it's because I did something that was good for me.
Right. Like, I turned it and this
I turned the party and this is just the consequence of turning the party. Of
turning the party. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Oh yeah. How are you?
Oh, I forgot to do my little, it's my bad. Brayden, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. I'm fine is the summary. I'm also just working all the time.
And
when I'm not working, I am exactly. That was my answer to what I'm doing when I'm not working. Not much, because I'm always working. I'm working or I'm doing this podcast. I feel like I feel like we've recorded these episodes so often. We haven't. We've been recording them once a week. We're not banking episodes, but I feel like I am living for this podcast. Like, this is the most interesting part of my week.
Because I'm at work otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it's so exciting.
Society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this and watching Drag Race once a week.
I haven't even been able to do that. I'm going to watch an episode tonight when I go to sleep.
You have to catch up just for the finale.
I'm so uncaught.
It's a hate watch at this point.
No, but it's awful.
I
hate
this season. I do think I know the two people.
It's pretty obvious who the top two is.
I mean, I know one of them for sure, and I'm not pleased. But I think I'm pleased about the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate this season of Drag Race. Like, it's a hate watch. I actually can't believe we're still watching. It's just, like, a nice thing to, like, make sure we see each other once a week. So, But still, Jesus Christ, is it rough?
It's sad.
It is sad. But, yeah, I didn't mean to be sad in that, like, I don't have any joys in my life. But I was trying to highlight that how much I enjoy this podcast always being there once a week throughout the past over three years of my life. Is always a bright spot, especially this week, because let me tell you, I fucking loved these chapters. I'm so excited to talk about them. So welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing The Trials of Apollo, The Hidden Oracle, chapters 37 through 39, because it doesn't end at 40, even though it really feels like it should, through the theme of ego.
Yeah.
Ava?
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us what happened this week?
Like, I guess, but not that.
Well, then go.
Oh, fuck. Okay. So essentially, Percy is back and they're all excited, and then they basically realize that the Colossus is sneezing the house down, and then they're like, is this the plague, does he have some allergies going on? And then he sneezes his own head off, and that's pretty cunty. And then basically, I don't know, that kind of takes care of the problem. And then Apollo's talking about the prophecy, and Percy's like, it sounds like you're going to be decently happy, so you should stop worrying about it. And Calypso and Leo are slaying. And Percy and Calypso are a little awkward, and Apollo is learning how to be nice and a person. And he's like, wow, Calypso like really chose to be immortal, huh? I didn't at all. And also Mrs. O'Leary is there.
You're out of time.
Okay. Oh, and a bunch of people kick Leo and punch him.
Yeah, they do.
That was important.
That was very important.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It wasn't like a lot of plot stuff didn't happen. It was more very interpersonal and more like relationship-y stuff.
Yeah.
What songs are we wearing this week?
So it's another Noah Kahan song, because I have to finish off the playlist with another one. Sorry.
No, it's fantastic.
But yeah, it's called No Complaints.
Lay.
Yeah. Thanks. It's another one off the extended Stick Season album. And it's really good. It's just basically talking about like the main like repeated line in the song is like, who am I to complain? And I feel like that's kind of what Apollo is going through on this whole book, you know, of like, you know, like the acceptance of being mortal and like the situation that he's in at the moment. And the song is, while the main line is like, who am I to complain? And it's like, it's a lot of complaining about like being in a shitty situation, but then being like, but I just need to move forward and like achieve, you know. Also it has that line that went viral on TikTok for like 8 seconds. That's like, I saw the end and it looked just like the middle. Which I also thought was very like getting this prophecy, like, oh my God, like, you know, like Apollo getting from the Grove. I also thought it was very fitting to that. So
I see it. So I did forget to pick a song until like 5 seconds ago. And I was like, I knew there was something I was missing, and it was that. So I just did the follow spot for a production of Gypsy at the place I work. And I really think that Apollo gives Mama Rose like real hard. And all I can think about right now is that I need him to sing Rose's Turn, because I really think that Apollo is the type of bitch to be like, someone tell me, when is it my turn? Don't I get a dream for myself? Like, he's so self-centered. So I picked Rose's Turn from the musical Gypsy because it feels right, even though I don't know why that show is still being produced, but it's Patti LuPone. So
could I put the Glee version?
No, Glee version. Put the Glee version.
I guess it, I haven't seen Glee, but
Kurt slays that the house down. Kurt absolutely kills it.
I just haven't seen Glee.
If you had seen Glee, you would understand why it has to be the Glee version.
Okay, I trust it. I trust you.
My turn. Get off of my runway. It's a great adaptation of it.
Okay, I trust it.
It was a big queer moment on.
Okay.
For pop culture.
That's good. Yeah, everything's coming up, Kurt.
Yes.
Okay, put it on the playlist.
I almost went really comical, and I'm still conflicted to not do it. But I had a good actual song in the end. The comical choice that I was going to choose was, I was like, what song is the Valdezonator playing?
Oh, true.
As Gil arrives, and I went Vangobuzz.
Yep.
It took me a sec, but I love it.
It is.
That wasn't my choice, though.
Oh,
you're right.
Although maybe I have to add it as an honorable mention at the end of the playlist. But my choice was Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. It is like just a song about accepting what life throws at you and like being ready to move on from it. And I felt like that was really summarized Apollo's like catharsis in the end of this book. Maybe I really like that. But I will throw Vangobuzz.
As you should. I think it's hilarious.
Speaking of, fucking my boy is back.
Yeah.
Favorite part, Leo arriving.
Yes!
No, I'm so happy. It's like him and Percy at once. I was like, we're spoiled. We're spoiled.
No, I was like, Rick, this is a treat.
Yeah.
This is like, this quickly became one of my favorite books in these books. All of them.
Loved this book.
Yeah, like we finished this book, which is incredible, is crazy, and I loved it. I'm so excited to start the next one.
This book. Yeah.
Me too.
The fact that it sets up that this next book is going to be an Apollo Leo Calypso.
Literally.
It's lit.
Insane slay. Insane slay.
I bad habit calling Rick Riordan and she. It's
no, I like
it. I'm gay. The deal with it. No, but she really hit the slay button.
Oh, she did hit the slay button.
Yeah.
She hit the slay button as a gender neutral phrase, in my opinion.
What was Allison saying last night? The like mother,
the mother quake meter.
Mother quake meter.
Off the charts on the mother quake meter.
That's crazy.
It was great. Also, the whole camp lining up to hit Leo because he was gone for 6 months is just so real.
Was incredible.
Like, our friends would do that.
I was really for it until Chiron pulled up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna get into this further because this is my vote off for the week. So we'll come back to this. But Chiron, get ready.
Yeah. I was pissed off.
Buckle your wheelchair.
Bruh.
I am coming for you at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I was pissed at him. Is that sick?
The moment with Harley was like sad though. Like in a heart-wrenching sort of way. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like glad it worked out. That's so sweet.
It's I love Harley, another new favorite character.
Yeah.
Harash.
Such a cutie.
Him and his flamethrower.
He just wanted to use his flamethrower.
Alrighty. I love him. He's so baby. He is so baby.
But so not baby because he's violent. But
to me, he is baby.
But he's also like, what, 8 at most, right? Do we get an exact age?
No, but he is giving like 8, 9-year-old, like third grade coded.
Third grade coded strong. Third to fifth. Fifth highest.
Yeah.
Fifth highest, true.
Any other favorite moments?
I love any Mrs. O'Leary content, to be honest.
Truth. I liked our speculation at the end that, like, does Mrs. O'Leary swim? Does she jump through the shadows of whales?
Yeah.
We're asking the real questions here.
No, but, like, that's one of my favorite parts of this book is that Apollo is constantly asking the questions we've been asking for the past 3 years.
Yeah, because he also doesn't know, even though he really should.
But, like, if Apollo was on the Argo 2, he'd be like, so is Frank one bee or multiple bees?
Real.
This is why he is my godly parent, because he and I ask the same type of questions, derogatory, but like.
How many bees? How do you spell Cyclops?
Yes.
True. How many bees?
We've laid that to rest. We can't get back into it.
I know. Thinking about the chronicles of our discussion. Like that. Wow.
That. Or the Cyclops thing took forever. We had to get a professor.
Professional
in here
answer.
To answer that question for us. Yeah. Let's take a break and then we'll be back to talk about the theme of ego.
Huge slay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, ego. Where do we want to ego first?
Bruh.
Yeah, that was bad, and I apologize right now.
No, I like
this. This is my public apology. I'm going to pull out the guitar, the ukulele. I'm going to sing a little song.
Literally, please. And then we're going to copyright claim it.
She copyrighted claiming that?
Yep.
Camp.
Oh my God.
Copyright claimed it and then tried to share the revenue from. Are you familiar with H3 Productions?
Yes.
They did a podcast episode on it and then she claimed their video on YouTube and got a shared revenue. And they're obviously going to fight it because it was clearly fair use, but it's just crazy that she did that.
Yeah. Interesting. If any of our audience doesn't know what we're talking about Colleen Ballinger.
Yeah, it keeps getting worse, girl. It keeps getting so much worse.
It does. Do we see the Trisha video?
Yeah,
I haven't yet. I need
when Trisha Paytas.
I is know.
In the right, you are really in the wrong.
You have reached a new level of incorrect.
I do think Colleen just keeps digging herself deeper.
Speaking of ego and digging yourself deeper. Apollo's journey with ego has been so interesting throughout this book, because I would argue at the beginning of this book, he experiences an ego death.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this has been his like journey at like finding his ego once again.
Yeah.
In, like a psychological term. And then at the same time in like the noun version, he has a huge ego that shrinks. So it's an interesting like.
Yeah.
Opposite trajectory that's really, really compelling.
It's very interesting because, like, it's being humbled by changing his entire reality and identity.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have like multiple types of growth going on at the same time, like in the sense of like he's growing is not in the sense of not being an, you know, a selfish jerk anymore, but also like growing an entirely new personhood, different to what he was before in like every, like even on like a molecular level, which is very interesting to watch.
Yeah,
and it, we see like the whole like, I think there was, it was during the, it was, yeah, it was with Chiron and Percy, and he was like when they were like, you need to shoot this, you know, plague arrow that you just made, a plague arrow, and he was like, I can't do it, which I found such an interesting part to throw, like a like I'm nothing sort of line, when he did just access his godly powers again to like make the arrow make people sneeze, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, like even with like literal physical evidence in front of him that he is still like something more than mortal, he's like, no, but I'm nothing now.
It is crazy how like he was so destroyed from having a massive narcissistic ego to given such a reality check and an ego death that he cannot believe in himself at all anymore.
Yeah.
To like learning to believe in himself a little at a time by proving his worth at individual things, which is so human.
It's
Yeah.
And it really, like, he even talks about, like, he's like, I wish I could stay at camp and, like, practice.
I love that little monologue. That was so cool.
You did too. That was one of my favorite parts.
It was just, that little line of that monologue was so illuminating in that, like, he has learned that the value of practice, that he needs to work at things, that he is not a god anymore, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have potential.
Right.
But at the same time, he has to work for it. It was just, Rick does a good job at not hammering the themes home too strongly, but really making them very blatant at the same time. I think this book is some of Rick's best writing, hands down.
It was also so hard that like, that little monologue was so heartwarming too, because it was like, just parallels to Percy's narration of like when he has to like, you know, go home for the summer or go home for the school year or like go on quests or something. And he's like, I just want to stay here and like find a home that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. And to see like the parallels of, you know, like a kid, this like character that we've known since he was like a dumb 12-year-old who, you know, just kind of like stumbled into this, to a like god or a, you know, not right now, but most of the time, like also having that same sentiment was so interesting, because this god has literally lived for, you know, millennium.
It gives a lot of power to Percy.
It was great to see Percy as that mentor figure. And he's the, like, he's kind of the Luke in this situation. Obviously, Luke became evil, but like, he's to Apollo what Percy was, or Luke was to Percy before Luke obviously betrayed them all. But
yeah,
like that older person who is that ideal, that mentor, that map for what you want your life to be. Like Apollo's like, if I'm going to be a human, I want to be a human like Percy Jackson is.
Yeah.
And like, that is incredible, because that's like how obviously all of the readers feel. Like that as I was like an 8-year-old reading The Lightning Thief for the first time. Yeah, like that's exactly how I felt too.
Yeah. It's also crazy because that kind of, like, it's so weirdly cyclical. Like, and we all went to liberal arts college. We've all heard like the people on this podcast, but like, we've all so many times heard like the phrase like everything is cyclical, and like I don't believe that, but like the really funky cool idea that like the kind of positionality has completely switched is so fun, especially with the monologue that Apollo I don't know. Apollo has a little moment where he talks about how like baseline human behavior has never changed. And like, I am just the biggest fan of that concept, like from a historical and classical lens. And like, so it's this idea. And like, I think about that in the context of like, we as modern people can learn a lot about ourselves by looking at ancient figures and their behavior. He is an ancient figure. He's learning about himself by looking at a modern demigod. That's crazy. I love it. It is
such a compelling flip of the narrative. Even like baseline, we're talking about ego. Ego is something that comes out of like Freud and is a foundation of modern psychology.
Right.
Modern psychology is hugely based on the classics, like especially the Greek classics really influenced archetypes for how modern psychologists have defined specific personality types and psychological concepts. So mm-hmm. seeing this really human psychology play through a classical figure really shines a light on both the problems with basing these things off of classical traditions, but also the like foundationalness of them in our society. Like, we are told throughout Percy Jackson, Heroes of Olympus, and now Trials of Apollo that Western society was based on Greece and Rome. It's a lot to be told that, like, especially as like an 8, 9, 10, even like in high school.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily understanding actually what that means.
Right.
Because it's so cross genre and culture and so many different aspects of society have been inspired by classical things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so really getting some pinpoint angles of where that diversity of inspiration comes from is really compelling about Apollo as our new protagonist character.
I love it. Just watching him learn from modern people is like my favorite thing ever. It's just, oh my God, it's the coolest.
Other thoughts about ego?
Chiron has one.
Oh, Chiron has one. Oh, I'm still going to save my rant for guys, both.
You guys remember when I was a Chiron apologist?
You were a Chiron apologist. We had to
break it. It was that. A lot easier in the original series to be.
It was. And listen,
I don't have the nostalgia like playing for him.
You have huge nostalgia and you have the fact that like you can't take Pierce Brosnan seriously.
That's real.
Yeah. So,
once you've seen him in Mamma Mia, you're like, that man can't sing. Over.
Yeah.
He's such a bad singer. I love him so much. No, but yeah, now I just really hate everything he stands for. Not Pierce.
Not Pierce. Yeah.
Not Pierce. Don't get me confused. Listen, Pierce fan. However,
this is a pro Pierce Brosnan podcast. I mean, personally, I think it's
dance, I know.
A pretty neutral personally on Pierce Brosnan, but I know that
I think he's hilarious without meaning to be. So I'm pretty pro. Yeah.
I also think the Calypso stuff is really interesting. The Calypso Percy Leo thing that could be a love triangle moment, but the way they all kind of set aside their egos and like decide to get along.
Yeah.
And I like that we don't.
Very mature for specifically Leo.
Yeah.
But say.
It is like crazy because Leo has had such an imposter syndrome historically that like seeing Leo confident that Calypso loves him and that he doesn't need to worry about competing with Percy is such incredible character growth for Leo. And it's such a subtle thing.
Yeah. I agree.
I hope we, in this next book, get to learn what this beef between Apollo and Calypso is.
I know, it's literally like, do not ask me about it. It's like, well, you know what we're going to do next book? Babe, ask. You better provide the details.
I know. I would love to know.
I'm also excited to, like, actually get to know Calypso outside the scope of, like, her mechanism in a, like, wider story to serve one of our other characters.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially, like, not serving a male character anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the only way we've known her in the story is just, like, through the lens of Leo or the lens of Percy, like, in a romantic type of way, and also in a, like, move their plot and story along kind of way.
Right, agreed.
And I will just get to know her as, like, a person. Because
yeah, she seems fierce as hell.
Clearly, based on whatever's going on, Apollo and her are not going to be in a love triangle anytime soon. So we'll just get to know from, you know, from that.
Yeah, from a non-romantic perspective.
Yeah.
I am really interested in the parallel between Apollo and Calypso.
Yep.
This, like, forced mortality versus the chosen mortality, I think is spelled out so well in a way that I'm really excited to explore even more, because I think it is really complicated.
And he's already talking about it too. Literally, like, yeah. He just saw her and was like, oh, she chose to be, like, it's going to be a big conversation.
And I'm really interested to see how mortal we find out Calypso is. And, like,
good point. Yeah.
Like, if she is, like, completely mortal now, she also chose basically to die for Leo. And that's big.
Mm.
Like, not just lose her power. She doesn't really know what will happen, I don't think. So it's interesting to see what happens.
What I did for love. Yeah.
Any other thoughts about Ego?
No.
No, I'm good.
Talk to me. It's incredible. Should we go to Sass Moments?
I have mine pulled up.
Go now.
Somehow, I managed to react appropriately. Three cheers for reacting appropriately. Slay. I was like, me. Anytime that I, like, don't mess something up at work or, like, help someone out, I'm like, yes, normal interaction. Just really felt that.
That's real. I'm trying to find mine.
Y'all don't screenshot it before this starts.
Bruh. There are a lot of options. I don't know.
My page that mine is on isn't loading. Because sometimes the PDF I use doesn't completely load. So I'm trying to, like, refresh it and find it because it was pulled up.
Yeah. I do think, like, I don't know. I had one and then I thought about the...
I found it.
Go crazy.
But they are the Apollo cabin, Harley complained. Besides, my flamethrower. You can play with your flamethrower later, Chiron promised.
Please.
Literally so true.
Harley is a maniac and I love him.
I agree. I can't find... Oh, God. I can't find it. I am... Hello. I don't know. It was the moment where he was talking about how he's like, oh, I'm going to hit on that girl. Wait, actually, I might hit on her boyfriend. Much to think about.
That was good. I like
that. It was like Kiara and someone else.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't remember what the guy's name was, but it was so funny. I don't know.
I know what you're talking about though. Yeah.
Oh. Here it is. I wanted to flirt with Kiara and steal her away from Damien. Or perhaps steal Damien away from Kiara. I wasn't sure yet.
That was good.
Much to think about.
I love him. He understands.
All right. It is offering time. So the way we do this in our last episode, a reminder for our listeners, we will go through both offerings and votes off for the chapter, and then we'll all do one for the final overall of the book. So, who would like to go first?
What are we doing first? Offerings or?
Offerings.
Offerings first? Okay. Oh, I had it. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. For the chapter, it's Harley.
Yeah, real.
That's very fair.
Leo, congrats on being alive and making it back to camp. But also... Right.
Yeah. I was also really tempted for Harley. And that's why I'm choosing Harley.
That's fair. I just keep... Oh, that's, I'm yawning, apparently. Didn't mean to, but I keep thinking about how Girl Boss Calypso is, so I have to give it to her.
Real.
Yep. Huge fan of her work.
She deserved one, so I'm glad she got one.
Yeah.
All right, votes off.
You, I think, need to speak on something.
I do need to speak on something. Chiron just assaulted a child. Chiron is not only playing a 50-year-old man, he is thousands of years old. Leo is literally 16.
Mm-hmm.
You just kicked him with a horse leg. Horses notoriously have legs that kill people.
They do.
What the fuck, Chiron? Not only did you kick your student, you hid the leg and did it as a reveal.
You had
someone push you up in your wheelchair that you were hiding in for no reason, frankly, because you're in the camp.
Yeah.
Walk around. Stop pretending to be a disabled person. You are not. The disability of politics of Chiron are a whole nother thing that I won't get into because I'm not qualified to speak on them. But it's sketchy. It's iffy. We're slightly concerned.
That's true.
And then you kick a teenager. Managers and teachers and anyone in authority roles aren't allowed to touch in any way children, teenagers, their employees. Shame on you.
Children, teenagers, and employees all at the same time.
No, yeah. Shame
on you, Chiron.
You are right about that. You are right. And I do think they breezed past it.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I was so mad. I'm punching the air.
Did kick a kid who didn't really do anything to you.
Because Leo also didn't. It was funny. Leo didn't want to pretend to be dead.
No, he didn't sign up for that.
I know.
And like,
certainly did not deserve to be kicked by a teacher.
I see.
By a horse.
Is there's a there? Yeah, I mean, there's a significant difference between like if like something dangerous happened to one of you and like you came back okay, I'd probably do the thing that like people do in movies where they like punch their arm and be like, "I was so worried about you, fuck you," but I'm so glad you're okay, I love you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, Chiron doesn't have that kind of relationship with this kid because it's a kid, and also y'all aren't close like that.
Also. Kicks are so different than a punch.
Yeah. You could literally just slap someone on the arm lightly and be like, "God damn, fuck you. But also, I'm so glad you're okay."
Yep.
But yep, that's a hoof. Let's think about it.
A whole fucking hoof. With
well, that was a great speech.
A horseshoe I'll lightly.
Also give it to Chiron.
To be honest, I'm going to give it to Zeus because I feel like it's like a bookend. I feel like I just have to end every book with the Zeus vote off.
Real.
Yeah.
I feel like Chiron, I mean, Chiron's gotten two, so that's pretty good. But yeah, he, in this book specifically, has been epitomizing everything I hate about like lack of communication from authority.
Yeah. I'm real pissed at him this week.
Yeah, me too.
Take your motherfucking horse ass and go home.
Hey, you hear that, folks? Take your motherfucking horse ass and go.
Hope you all heard that loud and clear.
What are our offerings?
Oh, for the whole thing. Oh my God.
For the whole thing.
That's hard.
Mine is Apollo.
Yeah.
I really appreciate his growth.
Yeah. Okay,
since you did that, I'll give mine to Meg. Miss Girl.
Damn.
I know we're going to see her again, but I hope it's soon.
She's fierce.
Truly very worried.
Who are, like, the other characters in this book? I'm not giving it to Peaches.
It is mostly Meg and Will, or Apollo, not Will. Sorry. Will is also there, but...
I'll give it to Apollo. He's my godly parent.
That feels right. Two for Apollo feels right.
Yeah.
I think my boss, like, might be Apollo. This is me realizing that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who are we voting off? I'm going to go with Chiron again.
You know, period. Mine is Peaches.
I'm going with Nero.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
He just needed one, you know?
Yeah. He was a very easily vote-offable villain for some reason.
Well, because, like, what he did was actually so fucked up.
No, like, he was real big fucked.
Yeah.
Preach.
So with that, we have our rankings.
Oh, let's hear it.
So, ending on a positive note, as always, starting with the fuck yous. Mm-hmm. We're very concentrated this one, actually. So Apollo has one vote off only. Good job, Apollo.
Good job, Apollo.
As well as Octavian still managed to get one off, and Meg's parents get one off.
Word. Which,
in retrospect, I feel kind of bad about.
I mean, for one,
I guess who are
that
you?
Parent, yeah, is pretty fucked. So
you could write on that. Yeah, if you would like to, you could compound that one onto Nero.
Yeah.
Yep.
Two votes off for the Myrmecas, who I put in here as Big Ant.
Okay, they were fierce.
They did come back to kind of slay.
Right.
But I hated them at the same time.
Yeah.
Though, didn't I tell you we would come around on them?
No, you did predict.
They are so mother.
They're mama.
It was literally mama.
Well done, mama.
Scary.
Well done, mama.
In third place for votes off, tied with six, are Nero / the Beast and Zeus.
Okay, they deserve each other. I hope they get married.
In second, with seven, Peach Baby.
Wow.
Known as Peaches to us now.
I was really thinking Peaches would take the win, honestly. Very surprised.
Oh,
no.
Oh, big winner. Big winner with nine, Chiron.
Big winner with nine. He was really on his worst behavior this book. He said, where are the kids? I don't know. They disappeared. But I'll let them keep going out in the woods. That's weird, though, right? Maybe you, Apollo, who's also going through something, should fix it. What?
Like, I'm an authority figure. And I'm also not getting to communicate with anyone and still act like everything is perfectly fine. Fuck off.
Fuck off. Asking kids to fucking run your camp for you. Go die. All right. On a lighter note.
On a positive note.
With one, we have in rapid fire, Calypso, Nico, Mama Rue, Annabeth, Daphne, Pete, Juniper, Dead Satyrs, Rachel, Kiara, and Cassandra.
Dead Satyrs.
With two in fourth place, we have Percy.
Slay.
Yay, Percy.
And
Percy didn't get a vote off in this book. Probably the first time it's ever happened.
Look at him. with an incredible, this second place group is fantastic.
I'm excited.
We have Sally, Will, and Harley.
Yep.
Stack Tina.
And in first place, this is only fitting. Both tied with 5 for first place, we have Apollo and Meg.
Yay.
Oh, that's really cute.
Right?
They're so baby.
That's really cute. That worked out so well.
Yeah, I'm glad that happened.
Yeah.
Big fan of them.
Oh, this is crooked.
Well, all right. That's all for this week.
We're done with our first book that we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be like really in Trials of Apollo now.
Me too. Yeah.
Any final thoughts for this book?
It ate.
It was really strong. So much better than I was expecting.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a snack.
No, so true. So true.
Well, folks, that's all for this week. Join us next week where we'll be watching.
The movie. The.
Oh no, Ava forgot.
What are we watching?
We're watching the Lizzie McGuire movie. Because it's in
Rome. Oh, right. Yeah, I haven't seen it. But we're watching the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I'm leaving that entire thing in.
Yeah, okay.
Neve?
That's on you, yeah.
I didn't. Okay, make sure to follow us on all our social media. We're at Return to Camp on every platform that matters, and we also have a Ko-fi account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com.
Incredibly poor in all of our parts. Great job, guys.
Not like we do this every fucking week.
Love
have
it.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.